All right. So we're going to talk about the end times because Jesus is talking about the end times with Luke. I misspoke last week. We only have, including this week, three more texts in Luke, and then we'll be finished with Luke. By the way, pray for me, but whatever we're going to be going to next, because I'm not sure yet. So we'll see what the Holy Spirit tells us the direction we're heading. But we're talking about the end times. Why should Christians be aware of the end times? I've seen a lot of people who are very interested, even obsessed with the end times. And I've seen a variety of reasons why people are interested in the end times. Some people are looking for dates and times of when Jesus will come back so that they'll have an idea of what's happening. Other people are obsessed with this esoteric secret knowledge that they want to have so that no one else can have it. I've seen that as a reason why people are obsessed with the end times. Other people are trying to pay attention to what's happening in the end times so that they can escape physical discomfort, persecution, pain. They want to say, okay, something's happening. I better run. I better flee. I better avoid persecution. I've got to figure this out. Other people want to argue theological points. Some people use the end times because it's kind of vague and strange, and we don't have a full grasp on it, so they use it to bully other people. Still others are kind of like people who like horror movies. I like a particular type of horror movie, and why do people watch horror movies? It's to be scared. And so some people read the end times because they're like, man, this freaks me out. I'm so scared. And they kind of like horror movie fans. They watch or read about the end times in order to scare them because that's something they enjoy having. Why should Christians be aware of the end times? Jesus gives us some very specific reasons. It's the last thing he teaches on, the last major thing he teaches on before he begins to head to the cross. Why should Christians be aware of the end times? So if you have your Bibles, as I said, open up to Luke chapter 21, start in verse 5, and read along with me at home. It says, as some were talking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left on another that will not be thrown down. Teacher, they asked him, so when will these things happen? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place? So that's the preamble for this whole thing. So people are going around and they're, oh, wow, look how beautiful the temple is. And Jesus is like, yeah, it's all going to be destroyed. Like, can you imagine if you're at a wedding maybe and everyone's commenting, they're like, wow, look how beautiful the bride is. And then someone just says, yeah, you know, one day she's going to get old and ugly. What? That's kind of what Jesus did here. Why? But Jesus used it as an opportunity to start talking about the end times. The kickoff event for the end times is the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD. But what happens next is kind of confusing because Jesus gives us several scenes of the end times, but he tells them all out of order. And so it's a little confusing, but I'll try and navigate you around on this. So he starts off, and he uses this as a springboard to talk about the end of the age. Why should Christians be aware of the end times? Verse 8, then Jesus said, watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is near. Don't follow them. When you hear of wars and rebellions, don't be alarmed. Indeed, it is necessary that these things take place first, but the end won't come right away. Then he told them, nation will be raised up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be violent earthquakes and famines and plagues in various places, and there will be terrifying sights and great signs from heaven. So at home on Facebook or YouTube, I want you to answer the question, what are some false messiahs that people follow? Who or what are false messiahs that people follow? Go ahead and write that in. So Jesus, he kind of jumps around and he goes to basically the order of scenes. He gives us four scenes of the end times in this section, and he jumps to number three. So this is the number three. It's not the last one, but he jumps to number three. This is the third in the chronological series of events of things that happen. And he says, don't be deceived. There are going to be false messiahs running all around. In the midst of plagues and war and famine, there are going to be these false messiahs saying, oh, I'm Jesus, I am he, or people will start following false things that they think can save them. Or people will think, Jesus, we know the exact time and date that Jesus is coming. And we know that no one can actually know the time and date because he'll come like a thief in the night. But Jesus says, be on your guard. Don't be deceived. There are false messiahs running around everywhere. Think about this. Many of you have trained as cashiers. I did briefly when I worked at Home Depot years and years ago. And one of the things in the training is they give you this strange-looking pen, or it's more of a marker. And you guys know what it is if you've been trained as a cashier. That marker is used to check bills for counterfeits, right? And why is it important that people are trained to spot counterfeit bills? Because if cashiers are not trained to spot counterfeit bills will come in, the store will lose money, the store will lose revenue, then people will get fired, all that stuff, right? You have to be aware that there are counterfeit bills coming into your store. In the same way, Jesus is saying, you have to be aware that there are false messiahs, things in people will put their hope in and their ultimate trust in. You have to be aware, and if you are not aware, you will be deceived. So Christians should be aware of the end times so that we are not deceived by false prophets, by false messiahs, by false Jesuses. We need to be aware so that we are not deceived by false messiahs. So what are some false messiahs that you guys see in your time here? Let's see. Themselves, Andrew says. Yes. I'm the god of my own life. Absolutely. Jordan says, dang, Andrew, you took mine. Don says, CNN News. Yeah, people can, without even having to get political, you can put your hope and faith in particular news sources or all of them. And you can think that they will be your salvation. My wife, Kristen, says, politics and government. Yep. You can think, hey, the government's going to save me. The government is here to give me my salvation. Sharon says, money. Yep. Money will be my salvation. It will be my savior. If I have enough money, I can be happy. Misty says, knowledge and science. Right? Like, so I love science. I love knowledge. But scientism is the belief that science can answer every question, which is hilarious because that's a philosophy, not a science. So you're in the realm of philosophy, not science, looking at the natural world. My wife says, televangelists, spiritual leaders. Yeah, I'm not going to save you. I am not your Messiah. I'd be a terrible Messiah if I was. Jane says, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons. Yeah, you're going to put your hope in a religious system. And in fact, you know, I'm Southern Baptist. You could put your hope in the Southern Baptist Convention. Not a good choice. The Southern Baptist Convention is not the Messiah. We communicate the Messiah imperfectly, but you don't put your hope in the Southern Baptist Convention or, you know, any other ones out there. Nate over on YouTube says money. Absolutely. We put our hope in money. If I only had enough money, all my problems would go away. That's not true. More money, more problems. Okay, that was really cheesy. I'm sorry. So Jesus says, you must be aware of the end times so you are not deceived by false messiahs. These things we think that they will save us. And we get into there. There's kids watching, so I'm not going to go on all that. But people will think, oh, marriage will save me. If only I get married. Only if I have this relationship with this person, I'll be saved. Everything will be better. I think that's where a lot of marital problems come in, where the spouses are trying to make the other one like God for them. You're supposed to supply all my needs, and they can't be. All these things. Love, trust, and faith in the Lord. Yes, Mark, we need to have love, trust, and faith in the Lord, and not ourselves and not anything else. So Jesus says, be aware of end times so that you are not deceived by false prophets, by false messiahs. So that's scene number three. But then Jesus jumps back a scene to scene number two, and he gives us another thing, something that that we have to be careful and why we need to be aware of end times. Read with me in verse 12. He says, but before all these things, so see, he jumps back in time, but before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to bear witness. Therefore, make up your minds not to prepare your defense ahead of time, for I will give you such words and a wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will even be betrayed by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends. They will kill some of you. You will be hated by everyone because of my name. But not a hair on your head will be lost. By your endurance, gain your lives. So at home on Facebook and YouTube, where do we see persecution today? Where have you seen persecution today? And remember, persecution is a spectrum, right? It can be intensely physical, but it can also be emotional, spiritual, financially, in your job place. All of those things can be. It's a spectrum, right? Obviously, some are more extreme than others. But where have you seen, either in your personal life or just in your knowledge, persecution today? It may be in America, but maybe also in the world. Where have you seen persecution today? So Jesus comes and he backs up to a scene before in the end times. He says there is going to be a period of intense persecution. And he says synagogues and prisons and kings and governors, basically the whole gambit. You're going to have persecution everywhere you go. And in the end times, there's going to be a particular time of outpouring of persecution. And he says, you have to make up your mind. Bear witness. Share the gospel. Make up your mind right now, before it happens, that if you are persecuted because of the name of Jesus, you will share the gospel in that moment. But there's good news in the midst of that. You don't have to do homework. All you have to do is make up your mind right now, right? He says, and don't prepare what you're going to do, because I will give you the words to say. Thank goodness. I mean, I hate doing homework. So the fact that Jesus says, don't bother doing your homework, because whatever you're going to come up is not nearly as good as what I will tell you in that moment of persecution. Just raise your hand and open your mouth. Just start talking, and I will speak for you. That is good news. You don't have to do homework. Just get ready and resolve right now that you will share the gospel in the midst of persecution. And Jesus says, not a hair will be lost on your head. That doesn't mean you won't face physical pain. That doesn't mean that you might not even die. But Jesus is saying, I've got you. Even if you die, your resurrection will be more glorious. Nothing will be lost. It will only be gained for you. You will only have good things when this is all said and done. So Jesus tells us, he starts off, he says, you need to be aware of the end times so that you're not deceived by false messiahs. But then he tells us, you need to be aware of the end times so that you are ready to share the gospel under persecution. So that you decide to share the gospel when persecution comes. And if you're a Christian, some form of persecution will come at some point in your life. And Jesus is saying, resolve right now, whenever that is, and whatever situation you find yourself in, to start sharing the gospel. It's kind of like, I'll go to the comments on Facebook and YouTube in a second here, but it's kind of like if you go to an elementary school, they are legally required to have regular fire drills and lockdown drills, right? Why is that? Why do they have to have regular fire drills and lockdown drills? They have to have regular fire drills and lockdown drills so that if there is a real emergency, everyone knows what to do, everyone's ready to go, and there's no thinking about it, there's no confusion, there's no question about what should be done in this situation. Everyone is prepared. That's why Jesus is telling us now, when you face persecution, you need to resolve now, I will share the gospel, and trust that Jesus will give me the right words to say. I need to do this. And the good news is, no homework. We need to be ready, and you have to resolve now. So Jesus tells us that you must know about the end times so that you are ready to share the gospel under persecution. Where are areas we see persecution right now? What kind of persecution do we see? Jordan says in the workplace. Yeah, you can have it there. I know when I worked outside of the church, I have experienced that quite often, whether it was mocking or ridicule. I saw Pastor Steve from Panama. Hey, thanks for joining us here, Pastor Steve. Andrew says, our current political climate. Oh, man, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm not going to go into that too much, but yes, you are correct. Linda says, Iran and other Muslim countries. Yeah, many countries are facing intense persecution. Linda says, China. Yeah, they are ramping up their persecution against our brothers and sisters intensely. Don says, sports. Yep, that can happen if you're an outspoken Christian. Absolutely. Missy says, social media. Yeah, number one place that we are all definitely going to experience that, right? The church faced that recently where we had a guy and he started posting things and we tried to interact with him and then he got lewd and disgusting and like just profane and vulgar. Susie says, some friends and family. Brianna says, family and friends. Absolutely. You can face persecution from those. Chad says the media is brutal towards Christians. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, a lot of murder mysteries, if there's a Christian in there, you can bet that that person's the murderer 9 out of 10 times. It's unreal. Absolutely, Chad. Susie, some friends and family, and Amy says, are kids in public schools and colleges? Yeah, that can happen, especially if you're going to a public college. I experienced that as well. And we need to resolve now. You will raise your hand and share the gospel. You need to resolve now if people are, you know, being brutal with you on Facebook about following Jesus. You don't have to engage them in an argument. Share the gospel. Here's what the gospel is. You know, wait, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. That has everything to do with what we're talking about. If you bring it back to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for the sins of humanity and rose again, and whoever trusts in him can have eternal life, you're winning. You're winning the game. So Jesus comes and he says, first of all, you have to know about end times so that you're not deceived. Because if you are deceived, you won't be able to share the gospel under persecution. You're already out of the game. But then Jesus jumps back in time one more time, all the way to the inciting incident of the end times. The first thing that kind of kicks off the whole end times movement, which is in Jesus' future, but our past. And he jumps back in time one more time to scene number one of the end times. Let's go ahead and read why we should be aware of the end times. So verse 20. Jesus says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that its desolation has come near. Then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. Those inside the city must leave it. And those who are in the country must not enter it. Because these are days of vengeance to fulfill all the things that are written. Woe to pregnant women and nursing mothers in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will be killed by the sword and be led captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So if you are at home, go ahead and type into Facebook or YouTube, what are unnecessary hills that people choose to die on? What are unnecessary hills that people choose to die on? So in Jesus's day, the destruction of the Temple of Jerusalem was in his future, 40 AD. In Dr. Luke, who is writing the Gospel of Luke, this was also in his future in 40 AD, the destruction of the temple. And by the way, this is what kicked off Jesus having this conversation. They said, look at this beautiful temple. It's all going to be destroyed. Let me tell you what's going to happen in the end times. But Jesus rearranges the chronology because he is trying to make a progression of thoughts for them to think through. In this, it is terrible. And we know from history, the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple was horrendous under the Roman Empire. Human tragedy upon human tragedy. And so what does Jesus tell them to do? He says, look, you need to flee. When you see this happen, this is the sign that the end times has happened. And by the way, theologically, the end times is like now. It has been since the time Jesus ascended and until now. We are living in the end times. When they will end, we don't know. But Jesus is saying this is the big, major external event that kicks everything off, is the destruction of the temple. And he says, don't be foolish and think, well, this is God's temple, so God is required to defend it. No, Jesus says to flee. If you see the armies coming around you, you need to flee. He says it is going to be terrible if you just gave birth or if you're pregnant, because it's harder to run away when you've given birth or you're pregnant, right? He says, run. You see the armies happening. Don't make a pointless stand because I am not obligated to come and help you. In fact, I'm warning you right now, I won't. It's all going to be destroyed. Run away. So Jesus tells us to be aware of the end times so that we are careful in dangerous situations. Martin Luther, when he's talking about how to deal with the plague as a Christian, he says there's two errors that people make. There's the left-hand error that says, ooh, my neighbor's in need, but I'm afraid of the plague. I'm not going to help them. And then there's the right-hand error that says, ha-ha, God's on my side. I can live avant-garde. I don't have to fumigate my home. I can go and do whatever I want because God's on my side, right? And those are both errors. He says God is under no moral obligation if you are acting foolishly in a dangerous situation to protect you, right? And so you know, you think Corona. Who knows? There's so much misinformation and disinformation and underreporting and overreporting. Who knows? So Jesus is saying, be careful in dangerous situations. Take precautions. In Jerusalem, run away. In our life, if there is a dangerous situation, be careful. Take some safety measures. Because you cannot testify to the gospel if you have died foolishly. Or you can't testify to the gospel if you have chosen to stand on some moral high ground that doesn't really matter, and then no one will listen to you because of the gospel. It's kind of like this. Imagine if there was a father who had a very deeply held belief that paying taxes was wrong. So he decided, I'm not going to pay taxes. I'm never going to pay taxes. He's verbal about it. He puts a press release, I'm never paying taxes. What happens? Eventually, he's going to get arrested. He's going to get arrested, and he's going to go to jail. And all right, fine, good for him. He stood on the moral high ground, and yet how good of a father can he be from jail? He can't. He chose to stand on this high ground, and now he can't be a father. Jesus is saying, be safe, be careful in dangerous situations. Be wise. Nate says, not wearing a mask seems to be a hill people want to die on. Mm-hmm. Right? And by the way, so, you know, even the cloth masks that we have and everything, the best I can tell is it's not going to prevent you from getting it nearly as much as it's going to prevent me from transmitting it to you. You know, my kids were sneezing the other day, and in the morning light, I saw it like rocket 20 feet across the room. I was like, wow, that's incredible, right? Stick a mask on there, it goes like 2 feet. Okay, so the droplets aren't nearly as contagious, right? So Jesus is saying, be wise, just be wise. Be careful, because there are dangerous situations. You live in a fallen world, and I haven't come back yet. When government takes control of us, and we have no rights or voice, Linda says, yeah, right? We need to be careful of giving up rights too easily. Yep, absolutely. And let's see, anyone over on YouTube? Android is better than Apple, Nate says, a stupid hill. Yep, that is a stupid hill to die on, and I know lots of people, most of them Apple, who are willing to die on that hill, right? But if you choose to stand on a hill to die on, and then you foolishly get injured or hurt or damages your reputation or the reputation of your church, no one can hear you about the gospel. So that's what Jesus is doing here. There's a series of progression. You could see it, right? He says you should be aware of the end times so that you're not deceived by false messiahs. Because if you're deceived by false messiahs, then you can't share the gospel when you're persecuted. And you can't share the gospel when you're persecuted if you died foolishly. So he says, be careful. Then Jesus jumps all the way to the end. So he gave us... the order he gives it to us is 3, 2, 1, and then 4. Then he jumps to the end. That's why this is kind of a confusing text. But he was writing this out thematically so that we could thematically understand what I just explained to you. But then we jump to scene 4. This is the final event of the end times. Why should we be aware of the end times? Verse 25. Then there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and there will be anguish on the earth among nations, bewildered by the roaring of the seas and the waves. People will faint from fear and expectation of the things that are coming on the world, because the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is near. Because your redemption is near. At home, what do people put their hope in? What do people put their ultimate hope in? Jesus here is giving us all this imagery. He says there's going to be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. Anguish on the people among the earth. So people, the world is going to freak out. There is going to be phenomenological signs. So things happening with the stars. The moon's going to do weird things. People are going to be freaking out. And he says, but not you. Not you. If you've chosen to follow me, I don't want you freaking out. I want you to raise your heads and stand firm in hope because your redemption is near. Your salvation is here. I am coming to make all things new. Your greatest hope and expectation is here. Let me ask you a question. Is it good if the cops show up? It depends on who you are in the situation, right? If you are the criminal and the cops show up, it's not a good situation because you're in trouble. If you're the victim, it's great that the cop is showing up. That's the image Jesus is giving here. If you've chosen to follow after him, his return is fantastic. But if you haven't, you're in deep trouble. You're in deep trouble. It is the worst day of your life, the worst day of your eternity. So Jesus is saying, look, you need to be aware of the end times so that Jesus' return is your greatest hope. You need to be aware of the end times so you look forward to Jesus' return. Let's see if I've got any comments here. What do people put their hope in? Technology, Nate says. Yep, people put their hope in technology. And maybe they'll augment us and everything. I'm not seeing too many others coming through, but it's similar to one of the other questions I asked. But yeah, we put our hope in all sorts of things. And Jesus says, yeah, don't put your hope in those things. Put your hope in my return, your ultimate hope in my return. That should be what wakes you up in the morning. That should be your greatest call. In fact, I have a playlist called Second Coming of music that I just collect. And if you happen to know Second Coming songs, not about heaven, not about eternity, about Jesus coming back. Very specific. There's not as many songs as there should be, I think, in my humble but correct opinion, in the Christian Rolodex of music of Second Coming. This is what we're looking forward to, Jesus coming back to redeem all things. And there's just not a ton of it. I mean, I think I've got like maybe 50 or 60 songs, but in the grand scheme of all of 2,000 years of Christian music, there's not as many as there should be. It's our ultimate hope. We need to look forward to Jesus coming back. And like I said in the introduction, some people look at the end times and are like, ooh, I'm so scared. I love it how scared this is. No. If you're reading it like that, you need to question, am I really a Christian, first of all? Because if you are, this is what we are looking forward to. Yes, all this stuff's going to happen, but Jesus is coming back. And if you are terrified of the idea of the end of days, repent and believe in Jesus Christ. And realize that when all of this happens, you can stand tall and say, here my redemption comes. The greatest hope of my life is coming. Repent and believe in Jesus. So Jesus gave us this progression. Why should we pay attention? Why should we be aware of the end times? You should be aware so that you are not deceived by false messiahs. Because if you're deceived by false messiahs, you can't testify to the gospel when you're under persecution. And you can't testify to the gospel if you're under persecution if you're dead. Because you died foolishly. And he says, ultimately, though, your ultimate hope should be that the end times come to fulfillment, that Jesus returns and redeems all things. And we look forward to him coming. Jesus gives a brief image here about what this hope is like. Verse 29, he says, then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they put out leaves, you can see for yourselves and recognize that summer is already near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. He says, like you can see that, like right now, we can see that fall is finally coming because the birds are coming out. We see all the signs, the fig tree. You can see things are happening. Whenever we see these things, signs and wonders and plagues and pandemics, we allow it to remind ourselves that King Jesus is coming, that this is not the final reality that we all live in. King Jesus is coming, and we look forward to him. That is our hope. That is our expectation. That is our absolute joy. We look forward to it. Let's see. Oh, and I saw a few more came in about things people put their hope in. Jane says family and husband, wife, and children, and retirement funds. Yep, we put our hope in those things. And Jesus says, you know, put your ultimate hope in his return, where he comes and makes all things new. Some of you might be here saying, well, you know what, that's well and good, but Jesus doesn't give us a time frame, and in other texts, he says that no one will know the day or the hour, so why should I be alert and sacrifice my life to follow Jesus right now? That seems kind of superfluous, and I don't think I really need to do it. Maybe I should just live my life for myself. Jesus says this in verse 34, be on your guard so that your minds are not dulled from carousing, drunkenness, and worries of life, or that day will come on you unexpectedly like a trap. for it will come on all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Right? He says, pray. Not that you have strength, but that you have strength. And that strength comes from Jesus. It comes from the Holy Spirit. During the day, he was teaching in the temple, but in the evening, he would go out and spend the night on what is called the Mount of Olives. Then all the people would come early in the morning to hear him in the temple. And from this point forward, Jesus begins his march towards the cross. Why must Christians pay attention to the end times? We must pay attention. We must be aware of the end times so that we are not deceived by false messiahs, so that we will share the gospel under persecution, so that we will be careful in dangerous situations, and so that we will look forward to Jesus' return. Those are the reasons that Jesus gives us to study, to look into the end times. That is why we should be aware and pay attention, so that we are not looking forward to making this world a better place, but instead to bring the kingdom of God into this world and to bring the light of Christ into this dark and dying world, to give them the hope that this is not the way things ought to be, and one day King Jesus will return and make things the way things ought to be from the beginning. Think about Christmas. You know that Christmas is coming when the stores begin to put out Christmas ornaments in September, right? Christmas is coming when they start to put out Christmas ornaments. But you know, as an adult, that Christmas is not yet. It's not coming yet. It's heading in that direction, but it's not here yet. We've got a few things that we have to celebrate before then. If you're a child, you start seeing all these things, and you're like, whoa, Christmas is coming, and you start getting excited, and then Christmas feels like 100 years before it gets there, right? But let's face it. Let's be honest. Christmas is a lot of work. It is exhausting. It is stressful. It is agonizing. And Christmas is worth it. Christmas is worth it. Christmas is worth it, even though you have to drive for hundreds of hours, it seems like, dozens of hours, even though you have to strain your financial account. Christmas is worth it, even though you have to see family members you don't really care for. Christmas is worth it, even though you have to spend an inordinate amount of time baking. Christmas is worth it, even though you have to spend an amount of time wrapping presents. Christmas is worth it, even though it takes up time and energy and stress and money and resources that you're not sure if you really have. Christmas is worth it because when it finally comes, you get to see joy on the face of children unlike any other day of the year. Christmas is worth it because you get to embrace family members that you only get to see once in a while. Christmas is worth it because you have phone calls from people you haven't heard in a long time. Christmas is worth it because you get to embrace your family members, and not only family members, but sometimes your enemies. Christmas is worth it because of the beauty that we see just when you drive around at night and see Christmas lights, reminding us that the light shines in the darkness. When we see wars and plagues and famine, COVID-19, darkness all around us, we know that the end is near. We know that King Jesus is on his way back. But like little children, we don't know when. It feels like 100 years. Maybe it will be 100 years, maybe 1,000, maybe 1,000,000, maybe a day, maybe in the next 30 seconds. And let's face it, following Jesus is a sacrifice in this life. Jesus said so himself in the Gospel of Luke earlier. He says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Sacrifice yourself. Give up everything and follow me. Give up even your pride and honor in the community. Be humiliated and follow me. Following Jesus is a sacrifice. It is hard. It is difficult. But when King Jesus comes back, it will be worth it. It will be worth it. It will be worth giving up all of your desires and maybe even parts of your personality and maybe even some of the things you love in this life. It will be worth it because when he comes back, when he gloriously gloriously appears in the sky like lightning touching down. You will see him, and unlike the rest of the world shrinking back in terror, you will stand. You will stand in glory knowing that because you have chosen to sacrifice yourself and follow Jesus, because you have submitted yourself daily, regularly to follow Jesus, you have not made this world a better place. You've done something far better. You have come and you have brought the kingdom of God into a lost and dying world. You will know that is all worth it because you have worked hard both in your life and in your words to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. When King Jesus comes back, you will know the sacrifice was worth it because you saw many sons and daughters come into the kingdom of God. Because every time you went and you went to a cashier or you posted something on the internet or you talked to a neighbor, you were bringing the kingdom of God with you. You weren't making this world a better place. You were showing them a better one. And so we need to be aware of the end times, so that we're not deceived by false messiahs. We don't put our hopes in garbage idols. You need to be aware of the end times so that when persecution comes, you will share the gospel. You need to be aware of the end times so you will be careful in dangerous situations. And you need to be aware of the end times so that you'll look forward to Jesus' return. We live in a fearful time. Don't give in to fear. Give in to hope. Let's pray. Father, I pray for those who are here right now. I pray that you will be a soothing force in their lives. I pray, Lord, that if there is anyone here who does not trust Jesus, they will pray this prayer with me right now. Father God, I repent of my sins. I know that I have done wrong in my life. I have been in rebellion against you. But I believe and I trust that Jesus came and lived the perfect life I couldn't live. He died the death I deserved on the cross. And he was resurrected from the dead. I'm putting my trust in him. I've decided to follow Jesus. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for adopting me into your family. Thank you that I now have a hope that this world will not be left the way it is, but that King Jesus will come and renew the earth and make this world not the way it currently is, but the way it ought to be in the new heaven and the new earth. Thank you for forgiving and loving me in Jesus Christ. And for all of us who are here, I pray. Let's pray together that you trust Jesus ultimately for everything. Father, help the return of Jesus to be our greatest anticipation. Help the return of Jesus to be our greatest joy. Help us to put our hope in him. Help us to look forward to the day when King Jesus comes to save us, to redeem us, to transform us, to resurrect us into his likeness. Father, help us to be aware of these end times, not so that we can beat each other up theologically, not so that we can be fearful, not so that we can have secret knowledge to hold over others. Lord, help us to be aware of these end times so that we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a world that needs it, and they too can see the kingdom of God and be adopted into God's family. As we conclude this prayer, may the cry of our heart be, come, Lord Jesus, come. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.